Alyssa to come up and read. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Sorry to put you on the spot. Today's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Alyssa, for doing that reading. We have heard the word of Scripture, the arrival of the wise men and the gifts that they brought. And I must admit to you, this past month I've been thinking a lot about gifts. First, I wanted to share, early in December, the Chinese caucus was presented with the opportunity to have little gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did everyone get that little gold thing? Maybe hold it up so we can show everybody. If you didn't get one, we'll give you one after worship service. But a funny story about these gifts is when one of the Chinese caucus churches told us that a church member puts these gifts together, they showed us this picture. They didn't actually have the thing in front, the little gold bags. The picture was a wooden box, and the wooden box opened, and in the box there was a cube of gold, a cube of frankincense, and a cube of myrrh. It looked really neat, and there was a like an imprint that said, "From our church to you," or, you know, it looked like this great gift, and we said, the other Chinese caucus churches said, "This is free, your church member is going to make these for all the churches." And they said, "Yeah, just tell us how many you want and tell us now so the church member can finish them before Christmas." And we said Chinese UMC had maybe 175 total worship. "Oh, you can have more. Okay, can we have 200? Oh, you can have more." So we asked for 300. Other churches asked, St. Gabriel also asked for 300. Another church asked for 200. So the minister of the church whose member was making these gifts said, "Let's just make it even 1,000. So it was this great thing, and then 2 days before Christmas Eve, I went to the church to pick it up. The minister wasn't there, but the secretary pointed to a box in the corner and said, your gifts are in there. And I thought it would be heavy, so I brought a cart to, you know, take to my car. Because I imagined 300 of these boxes, like the picture we saw. And then I lifted the box and said, "Gosh, this is very light." And then I opened the box and I saw 1,000 of those little bags. I think I was the first minister to pick up the gifts. So I counted about 300 some out and took them home. And I was very surprised with how this gift turned out. But I've been thinking a lot about gifts this month, and we're going to talk about the wise men and the gifts they brought. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I just ask that you guide my words and let these words reflect your will for us. Hear the meditations that we hold in our hearts and know, Lord, that we worship and honor and praise you with our thoughts, our meditations, our reflections for you, Lord. For you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So continuing to think about gifts as I've had this past month, from the very beginning of the month when the Chinese caucus minister said, these are these gifts we want to give to all your church members, to, I don't know if you saw, but around December 10th, there was a thing going around on the internet where a woman had posted a picture of her Christmas tree. And her Christmas tree had, you know, like Christmas trees do, gifts around it for her children. And the gifts for her three children were piled so high that you could only see half the tree. Has anyone seen that photo? So the woman was then what we called internet shamed. All these people kept posting and replying. The picture was posted on her Instagram, on Facebook, on social media websites. They were internet shaming her, saying, that's too many gifts. They counted the gifts. They said, that's nearly 200 gifts for just three children. How greedy you are. What message are you sending to your children? And all these gifts that you are giving for your children are not a good sign. And then the woman replied that it's only once a year she gives children gifts, that she wants to give them all the gifts she can, that it's her right to. And words of battle went back and forth just on a Christmas picture that the woman was showing her pride and joy. And then also, I think about Christmas Eve service, when I heard a little child look at our church Christmas tree and say to their mom, Mom, why does that Christmas tree not look like our Christmas tree at home? And the mom said, well, it's the same similar tree, maybe different ornaments, but it's like our tree. And the child said, no, there's no presents under the church tree. Have we become a society that expects all these gifts? Whether it's like this mom in England that had over 200 gifts for her children that Christmas Day, or one of our own Chinatown community children thinking the Christmas tree is wrong because it does not have gifts yet. What does it mean when we think about gifts? Do we forget the greatest gift of all, that Jesus was born on Christmas Day, a wonderful gift for us? So this morning, when we look at the wise men and their journey as they traveled to meet Jesus and what they brought him, I want us to think about the gift of Jesus born on that Christmas day. But first, we must look at a little bit of the history and what was happening during that time. We know that during that time, King Herod was ruler, but he was an evil ruler. King Herod was powerful, he wanted control, he was greedy, he had many slaves, people were treated unjustly. King Herod was an evil ruler in a time of darkness. Do you ever wonder why Jesus was born in the winter time, during Christmas in the winter? December 21st or 22nd, depending on your time region, was known as the shortest day, where we only had a few hours of sun. In some places, only 5 or 6 hours of sun, and the rest was dark, in darkness. I think that's very symbolic of the world at that time, for when Christ was born in December, it was a time where days were long and dark. It matched what was happening in the society. For we know King Herod, he ruled, and he ruled in a way, I say, out of fear. He acted out of fear when he sent people to look for this birth of a baby that was to be born. He knew what the prophets were saying, that a baby was to be born, a baby that would become a ruler, a king of all. So when King Herod acted, he acted out of fear. But we know that when Jesus was born, this baby born, Son of God, Son of Man, that Jesus didn't act out of fear. He instead acted out of love. So we see in the beginning of this passage that in the time of King Herod, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and wise men, they came from the east. They asked, where is this child who has been king of the Jews? For we have observed his star rising and have come to pay homage to him. Now imagine King Herod then thinking, wow, these wise men are before me, but they're not asking about me, how I am as a king, and they're not coming to honor and praise me as king. They're instead asking about this child. And the scripture says wise men, but we know that sometimes we have turned them into kings. If you look at your worship bulletin, you see that great photo of the children's skit from last Sunday, and you see many kings. And that actually might be more representative of what was before King Herod. Maybe not the costumes, of course. But before King Herod was wise men. In some cultures in the East, they say there may have been as many as 12 wise men who came before King Herod. Or 12 king-like people. That's why sometimes you hear about the song, the 12 days of Christmas, how each day after Christmas a gift is brought, so there's 12 wise men. And these wise men, they might come from royal families, families that could afford to send their sons who became wise men to school to study. These wise men were like scholars, they were like astrologers, they were like philosophers, and they were so wise and smart that they were searching for this child. So Herod, we know in Matthew 2, verse 3, was frightened. He was frightened. He is a king and a ruler, and all these wise men are before him bearing gifts, but they aren't gifts for him. They have not come to honor and praise him, Herod, but instead are asking about the Messiah that is to be born. Herod is so scared that then he asks his chief priests and scribes, and he says, "What is this Messiah that is to be born?" And the priests and scribes tell him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd to the people of Israel." The scribes and Pharisees are talking to King Herod, and they're reminding Herod of all the prophecies of the Hebrew Bible, of the Old Testament that we know. If you know the past few Sundays I've shared some of these prophecies, they number over 350 prophecies throughout the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, that talks about the coming of the Messiah, the mediator between man and God, the Savior, the King for all. The specific prophecy that the scribes and Pharisees are telling Herod comes from Micah chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. And in Micah chapter 2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, for the ones, the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. He shall be given to them from when she who is in labor brings forth. And he shall stand, and he shall feed his flock in strength of the Lord. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great till all ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace." So imagine Herod thinking that his own priests and his own scribes are talking about this person who will lead the flock, talking about this person who will be the strength of the Lord, talking about this person who will be great to all ends of the earth, be the one of peace. Herod, in his jealousy, in his anger, in his fear, and in his greed, acts out. Herod is the one who started the census that made Joseph take Mary to the home of Nazareth to be counted. Herod is the one who did all these things as he was searching for Jesus, who he was threatened by, a child that was to be born. He even says then to the wise men who have come before him, he secretly calls them, and he says to them, that a star has appeared. He learns from them about the star, and he sends them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, for when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage to him. But we know that is not Herod's true plan. He is hoping that the wise men, yes, find Jesus, and yes, tells him where Jesus is, but Herod is not to go to pay homage to Jesus. We know that Herod's heart is evil, and his real intent is probably to kill Jesus. But Herod sends the wise men first to do this work for him. Herod does not know where Jesus is found because Herod has no faith. But the wise men, they are following the star because they have faith. If you look at your fun worship bulletin cover, you'll see different types of wise men. So last week's skit that these wise men did for the children during the Christmas party, three of them, I like this, they did what we would call old school searching for Jesus when they asked how you find Jesus. Someone had a Thomas guide. You guys remember those? The spiral-bound books with maps in it. I think Gary, the wise man, might have had the Thomas guide. Someone else pulled out a map that originally was about, you know, this size. But you know those old maps you fold and you unfold and it soon becomes this big map. And they went a certain way, but they weren't near the baby Jesus. And then we had two wise men who were what we would call the technologically advanced wise men. They had their cell phone out, and I guess they had put Jesus maybe as a search for a MapQuest search. And someone else had like a GPS thing, or maybe was looking on their iPad for directions to Jesus. But these wise men, we know, did not find Jesus as well. And then there were these three wise men. Two were dressed in beautiful gold robes, and one was dressed in this very interesting decorated children's like pattern. But these three wise men, they said, "We are following the star." And when they were asked why they were following the star, they quoted scripture. They were following the word of God. And these three wise men found the baby Jesus. Because they were following scripture, they were following their faith, and they followed the star. So we know that in this morning's passage, these three wise men knew where to look because they were following faith. They knew, scripture says, to follow a star, a light that would shine in the darkness, and that is what they did. So when they heard the king, they say they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen rising. They came and they followed the star until they stopped where the place where the child was born. And when they saw that the star had stopped, it says in the scripture, they were overwhelmed with joy. Joy, can you imagine? Because they knew they were at the place where Jesus was. They knew they had found Jesus. For in a way, Jesus was hidden still from the world. Yes, they had over 300 prophecies talking about Jesus that was to be born, but yet Jesus had not been fully presented to the whole world yet. To Mary, his mother, to Joseph, the father, to the angels that spoke, to the shepherds, and those that were in that small community. But the wise men were the first from the outside world, if you will, to be present at Jesus' birth, to see the baby Jesus days after he was born. Jesus, for them, was this wonderful hidden gift that they have found. Our world is filled with us liking hidden secrets. Sometimes, I don't know if you've seen Star Wars yet. Did anyone see the new Star Wars movie? Maybe raise your hand. Okay. So I'm not giving up anything, but if you Googled Easter eggs for Star Wars, Easter eggs are hidden things in movies that come as a surprise, or they're like hidden special secrets that people can see. There were all these things for Star Wars, and Phil told me not to look up anything and not to tell him anything because we had to see it the Friday after it came out. So for 24 hours, I couldn't talk about Star Wars with him. But so some of the fun Star Wars things was they say that Daniel Craig, the guy who plays 007 in the movies, played a stormtrooper in Star Wars. So you kind of have to listen for his voice. They also say that there's an Ewok somewhere in the Star Wars movie, if you like the old school Star Wars. They also say that Kylo Ren, the bad guy, if you look at his lightsaber, it's different than others, and there's a special reason for that. And that BB-8, that cute little new robot that's like two round balls on top of each other, is named after the two actors that names start with B and B that voice the robot. All these fun hidden Easter eggs that bring joy when you find them in the movie. So then think about the wise men who then are finally before Jesus, this one hidden secret in a way. They call it also the messianic secret that we'll talk later about during Easter and Lent. But they find Jesus, and they are overwhelmed with joy. And on entering, it says in this morning's passage, they see Mary and the child, and they kneel down and pay homage to him. They did not kneel down before Herod. They knelt down before Jesus, a baby, a child that is born, not Herod, the king and the ruler. They knew who the true king was. And then they open their treasure chest and they bring him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. In the little gold bag that you have, you'll have a little flake of gold coloring leaf. You'll have frankincense and you'll have myrrh. And people sometimes wonder, why did they bring these gifts? Why would you bring a baby these gifts? For isn't it more practical to bring a baby gifts of cloth they could use for diapers or food that the baby can eat then or a blanket to wrap the baby in? Why bring gold and frankincense and myrrh? Again, in a way, I think these were hidden gifts, gifts with a hidden message, to glorify this child that was born, to recognize that this child was the Savior, the Messiah, the gift from God. For gold, we know, is a precious metal, more valuable than anything, and can be used to trade. But it shows that Jesus was so precious, so valuable, greater than anything. And we know that frankincense was a special oil, an oil that was used to clean people, for they recognized that Jesus was to be the person that cleansed people of their sins. And myrrh was a spice to use to flavor things, to flavor food that was used to nourish and feed people. For they recognized Jesus was the person that was going to feed people, to feed our souls, to feed the spirits. So these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were then, yes, very fitting for the child that they were, that was before them. For I'd like to think that the words of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, were probably in the hearts of the wise men as they visited Jesus. For we know that John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him is life, and life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, our time started. The world began anew when Jesus was born. We have new life in Christ. For nothing begins without Jesus. Even our own lives do not begin without Jesus. If they ask you when you were born, you can say, I was born in my biological time, July 23rd, 1973 for me, or some of you, 1993, who are much younger. But that's just a biological birth. But the true question of when you was born is when you accepted Christ into your heart. Because all things come through Christ. Things begin with Christ. He's the light in the darkness. So I'd like to say for those wise men, their life began then. And for us, our lives begin when we have Christ truly in our hearts. That is the reason for Christmas, our life beginning with Christ. When Christ was born, a new life was available for all. And we celebrate that today. We don't celebrate the number of gifts under the Christmas tree. We don't celebrate whether we get a little gold bag of gold, frankincense, or more, or a great box that I was expecting of gold, frankincense, or more. But instead, we celebrate Jesus, who is the reason for this season. And I close with the lyrics that I said at the very beginning of Advent, the lyrics from the song, "We Are the Reason," the one that the children's choir sang last night at Thursday night at the Christmas Eve service. They say the song is, "We are the reason," and the verse goes like this, the chorus goes like this. We are the reason that he gave his life. We were the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all that he could to show us the reason to live. Jesus is the reason for our lives, but his life, we are the reason for his life. For God loved us so much that we know he gave his only son. That is the greatest gift that we receive on Christmas Day. And in turn, we must be a greatest gift for God, to have Christ in our hearts, to follow as disciples, and to continue to walk in the path of light. Let us pray. Loving God, we are so thankful for the gift of your Son born on that Christmas Day, the Son of God who became the Son of Man. We know that gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are just the beginning of showing how great and wonderful he was. For he was the Messiah. He is our Savior. He gives us a reason to live, just as his life was given for us. We are so thankful for what you do in our lives, God, and thankful for the ministry, the birth, the ministry, the life of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. But first, we remember, was born a baby in a manger on a dark night, but brought light to all the world and shined his light and glory on all your people. Amen.